Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship, the opportunity to hear from your word. We ask that you are what is proclaimed. We ask that you are what is heard, that you speak in a way that challenges us, because it's not about someone teaching us something. It's about you speaking truth and us responding to that. So again, we ask that this isn't an opinion-based TED talk, that this is your word coming to life in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, how's it going? Before you ask, this jacket is too small. I know. Try to drive a school bus and you can't put your arms together. I'm just saying. As we wrap up a calendar year, we look back on what was good, right? We think about the things that could be improved, the joys that we experienced, and maybe some of the challenges that we've gone through, or maybe you're still in and you're still working through. You're carrying that to 2026. But as we look forward, some of us are hoping for better. I don't want to break anything in 2026. That'd be great. My wife says that'd be great. Some are just ready for a fresh start. And this is the day, right? Like, you got like 3 days to make a resolution, right? 3 days. That's it. Define. I had to define these things. I had to look these things up. Do you have my slides, Tim? Okay. A resolution defined is on the screen. There it is. A personal expression of will or intent, especially in pursuit of a goal. Okay, this is a definition of a resolution. So as you're planning to think about, you know, 2026, what am I going to be resolute about, etc. What are some examples? Give me some examples of things that went in this. Again, I'm a youth pastor. I teach to people, and I have to have response so you don't fall asleep. So what are some things that we set as resolutions for a new year? What? Lose weight. Yeah, that's like number one, right? What's number two? I don't know what number two. What's some other things that we do? Books, more books. Yep. Anything else? What's that?
Exercise more.
Someone in the first service said, like, control of your finances, right? I wrote down some of the silly ones that will often be like, I'm not going to have any pop for 2026. That one's fine. But then someone, like, in my head was like, no chocolate? That's off the table. We're not going there. Right? So we're going to look at some text today, but in light of these resolutions, we're going to look to how some of these would play out in the Bible. And Tim, you can pretty much just click through all these with me. So this is if Adam, you know, were to make a resolution. He's like, I resolve to stop blaming everyone else for my problems, including God. Right? Eve, I resolve to block all talking snakes. I resolve to invent air freshener for boats, big boats. That's Noah. Sarah, I resolve to laugh internally when God announces his impossible plans. That's how your kids get their names. Sorry, you were going so good. Jacob, I resolve to stop wrestling people, especially at night, and especially angels. That'd be a weird story. Resolve to stop telling my brothers literally everything. Joseph? Brothers appreciate that too. Moses, I resolve to stop throwing tablets. Stone tablets are expensive. Resolve to shout at walls only when specifically instructed. Joshua. I resolve to stop sharing my hair care secrets with strangers. It's not my resolution, just so we're all clear. David, I resolve to stay off of rooftops and maybe write a few less breakup psalms. Tell Taylor Swift that. All right, I resolve to stop complaining before miracles even finish, all of the Israelites. And then I think we hit New Testament, right, Mary? I resolve to remain calm when angels drop by unannounced. James and John, we resolve to stop asking Jesus if we can call down fire. Can we kill him? The disciples, we resolve to stay awake during prayer and snacks might help. It's true. If you haven't hit the coffee bar, get ready. Resolve to chill. Just chill. Martha. Mary and Martha, remember? Zacchaeus is great. I resolve to bring a ladder next time. This is for y'all this morning. Paul, I resolve to stop preaching until people fall asleep or fall out of windows. You'll notice all the windows are closed. We're first story, right? Okay, so these are just some funny things. That when we think of a resolution, what are some of the things that may cause us to fail? What are some things that might interrupt our resolutions, right? We set a goal. What are some things that knock us off of that? Give me some answers.
Being lazy.
Lazy. That's a great first answer. What else? Brains are what?
Thoughts.
Thoughts? Yeah. Our brains, the way we're thinking about stuff. What else? What else knocks us off?
Staying asleep.
Staying asleep. You got to wake up to do anything.
Other people.
See, that's a big one for me. I wrote that down like as comparisons, right? One, you could think that other people might make you not do the things you want to do. But I also wrote down comparisons because, you know, I may need to lose some weight or something, but they may need to lose more. So I'm doing pretty good, you know? Or like, I will always compare, like, in your homes, nobody ever does this. Well, I'm not on my phone as much as you are, right? Like those comparison games, right? I also thought of a difficulty. Any of y'all are early morning people? You got a couple of them, okay? Now, any of y'all work out early morning people? Because I tried to start that, and it is the worst, right? So we lose our goals because of that. Sometimes we set the wrong goal, right? You set a goal, and as you get into it, you're like, that's not really what I want to do or want to be about. But here's what I see as the overarching problem for us, and we see it in Scripture, when we're setting goals. It's why. Now, if you know PJ and I, you know that the why of what we do matters all the time. But when I thought about resolutions, and I thought about setting goals and setting things, the motivation, the why behind what we're trying to accomplish is really, really important, right? If a lot of times New Year's resolutions for me are like, somebody's like, hey, I'm gonna stop doing this for the year. You wanna do that with me? Okay, cool. And it's usually like a candy or something silly. And then when I break that resolution, inevitably, I don't feel bad. Because why? Because it wasn't mine. It was just like someone's like, hey, do you want to do this? And I'm like, okay, cool, sure. But when it gets to our relationship with God, it becomes a bigger deal, right? Because with God, if I don't carry through on a goal that I set, it could affect my spiritual life. It could affect my walk with the Lord. And so that, I was like, man, that's a bigger deal. I've broken a lot of resolutions with God. I'm not going to lie. Oh, I asked this in the first service. How many of you guys are almost done with the Bible in a year? Because you got 3 days to finish. Yeah? We got one. Good job, church. One person. Two. All right, good. No. But that's the... If you ever... Okay. February. You know what book hits in February? Leviticus. I'm great in my Bible plan. Like January through most, I think half of February. Genesis, great stories. Exodus, Moses, getting out of stuff. Leviticus, the book of the law. Right? Our Bible reading plans struggle, right? If you ever tried memorizing scripture or some of the other disciplines, it's very easy to make excuses like, I got my phone. I will always have my phone. The Bible will always be there. I don't need to memorize this stuff, right? Again, excuses. Let's actually look back. That reminds me of the disciplines that we talked about. I'm not going to do a massive deep dive, but if you've never been here, here's what we've talked about in 2025. We started the year with Practicing the Way. It's a book by John Mark Comer about what it means to be a disciple, to be an apprentice of Jesus. Phenomenal book. Like, go read it if you've never heard of it. Practicing the Way. We talked about the practices of silence and solitude, which I'm phenomenally bad at, and prayer and fasting and all these things. That's a great one, so you should go back to that. Then we walked through Paul's letter to the church in Galatia and what it is to be a church, what it is, what's the accountability for, what does it mean to continuously get together. In the midst of that, I gave one with a whole lot of P's and alliteration about practicing peace. It's phenomenal. You should go listen to it. I've had to listen to it like 7 times to still get it. And then in the summer, you remember PJ had some time off, and so we had Dwayne in, and he spoke about, I actually had to text him this week. I'm like, and I text Karen, but she didn't remember, and I didn't remember. And I was like, remember if you weren't here, Dwayne, Hoops on Mission, he's in Naples, Florida. He came up, led our camp. He talked about Teddy. Teddy was this kid that he had to drive out of his way to get, and he didn't want to, but he had to go get him. And so Karen and I that following week had a moment where we're like, something came up, we didn't want to do it. And she looks at me, she goes, Teddy? I'm like, Teddy. So he spoke about going out of our way to be intentional in our walk. And then Kate talked us through the seeds and sowing. It was an awesome sermon title called So What? Are we sowing anxiety or are we sowing peace and growth and development? And then we had our baptism, our outdoor service, which was awesome. It rained a lot initially, and then it was beautiful. And then we walked through the book of Joshua. We yelled at a lot of walls. No, we didn't. And we learned about God's faithfulness. Remember the story of the one guy that Israel lost because a guy had hidden something? And Joshua was like, dude, who did what? Why are we losing? And he whined about it, but figured it out. And then we went through, we didn't go through the book, but PJ preached on renovation. Renovation of the Heart by Dallas Willard is another great theological solid book. But he talked about, what is it when it says love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? What does it look like to love God with all of your soul? What is soul? We talked through those things. Really, really good. And gave some pretty practical practices, again, in that series. I preached on, like, seeking first God's kingdom, what that means. And then we wrapped up Advent last week, right? That's, oh, I didn't light them. Hold on. Bad pastor. No, this is an illustration. Remember we talked about Advent and the candle of love and joy and peace and hope. And we lit the Christ candle, this one, Christmas Eve. To be fair, if you ask anyone on staff, it's because these candles melt really fast and they wouldn't be here if I hadn't blown them out. But as we wrap up Advent and we look to the new year, I kind of wanted to ask this question of what is going to be different in 2026? Like, we've set resolutions and we've had goals all the time, right? So in 2026, what are we going to do different that makes us handle them maybe a little bit more faithfully? How will we resolve to, as we learned in the practicing the way, to be with Jesus so that we can become like Jesus and we can do what Jesus did? One of my most memorable quotes and favorite is from Andy Stanley, and I said this in the first service. If I only have one person that I think I'm banking on to know it in here, Libby Hartley would know it. Caleb, you're the person that I'm looking at. Do you remember the Andy Stanley quote? You fail. Heather remembered it first service. She said maybe you. No, he said your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Okay? Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. I can intend to do a lot of really good things, but if I'm not working towards or doing something for those good things, it doesn't make a difference, right? I can resolve to be healthier, but if I don't work out, if I don't get rid of bad foods, or if I don't, like, put my phone down, if I don't have accountability for these things, then nothing's going to change. You can come to church and you can learn a whole lot of stuff and you can listen to a lot of preachers better than me, but if you don't do anything with what you learn, you're not going to magically become more like Jesus. This is what I mean when I say that why you resolve, why you express will or intent to do something or to change something matters. There are different kinds of motivations. There's personal motivations, right? And there's God motivations. There's our resolutions, and then there's God's calling and commissioning in our lives. So I may want to start working out and eating healthy, let's say. Again, this is just because it's the first example we all think of. Now, in my own world, my motivation could be like, well, I feel sluggish, I want to feel better, so I'm going to try to work out. And that's an okay motivation. And then the early morning comes, and you're like, or I'll feel better if I sleep more. You know, like all of the things start reeling. But then if you have a God motivation, I'm like, well, why does God need me to work out? Well, because His Holy Spirit resides in me. He's got work for me to do. And if you've ever tried youth ministry and keeping up with people as a 40-something, it's not easy. Right? What is our motivation? God has stuff for me to do. Therefore, I need to keep this temple in shape, right? Okay, I may want to spend less time on my phone. What is my motivation? It's not a bad motivation. There's better things that I can do with my time. And they're addictive. They're literally built to be addictive, right? So there's better things I can do with my time. Not a bad motivation. But at the end of a long day, I just don't want to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I just want to unwind, okay? So that resolution will go away pretty quickly, right? But if God says, hey, I want you to be motivated because I want you to be present and available for family and for people around you to see Jesus. Let's be honest. We've probably missed a lot of opportunities to have a conversation with somebody, to engage with somebody, to do something because we're looking at a device or because we're just trying to unwind. Again, not a bad thing, but if I'm trying to improve something for myself, what is my motivation? See, we regularly depend on our own feelings, our own understandings, our own desires, and yet we know that our feelings fluctuate. My understanding is woefully inadequate. And then our desires aren't always righteous. You've been cut off in traffic before, right? Let's be honest. Because then we get to that comparison game of like, well, I mean, I may not be in the shape that I want to be, but like, there's so and so, you know. Or this happens again in our house fairly often. Like, I'm not on my phone as much as you are, or you know, like all these things and these comparisons, these excuses, the just sheer laziness, right? But what about Jesus? One, what did Jesus resolve to do? And how did he do it? Like, his feelings never fluctuated. He had feelings, but it wasn't like he was like, I can't say that. I wanted to say it's not like he was a teenage girl. But I didn't say that. His feelings didn't fluctuate. His emotions were, no. He understood everything, literally. He was God in flesh, right? And his desires were always righteous. He was God. So we're going to look in Philippians chapter 2. It'll be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. If you want to use your phone, just prove that you're not on Instagram. All right. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read the first couple of verses, in, starting at verse 5. It says, in your relationships with one another. Again, we're talking, okay, what did Jesus do when he resolved to do something? It says, have the mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, talked about that last week, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Pause. The scene in Aladdin, when the genie gets put in the bottle. Phenomenal cosmic powers. Itty bitty living space. See, you know. Yeah, that's what God did. He put himself in human form, and that's what that's saying. Humbled himself, limited himself to human form, right? By becoming obedient, not just to human form, but obedient to death and even death on a cross. Okay, I'm not a big sermon title guy, and Karen always needs it before I'm ready for it. So, but this week I'm like, this is a good sermon title. Here's why. The sermon title is Resolute Why. What does it mean to be resolute? Okay, we talk about resolutions, and we know what a New Year's resolution is. But here's the definition of resolute. It is to be firm, determined, and unwavering in purpose, opinion, or action. Okay, to be resolute, being firm, determined, and unwavering in purpose, opinion, or action. So stay there for a second, because what I think is like, all right, what is a good, resolute, a firm, determined why? For why we do things, specifically in relationship to God. And in my head, there's an easy answer, number one, to a solid why. Jesus, God in flesh, died for us. Okay? Again, you're in church. Welcome. This is not news to you. God in flesh died for us. If we're talking about why we're motivated for certain things, this is an easy one. And here's the hard part, is that this happened a couple thousand years ago, so we don't think about it as if somebody died for me yesterday, but I promise you, if somebody legit, some horrible thing happened and someone jumped in front of you and took a bullet for you, you would feel indebted to that person, like dramatically indebted. This is why we have GoFundMes. This is why those things go nuts, right? Like you would feel like I would do anything for that family, for whatever happened. Look at any tragedy in our nation that's happened. That is what happens. The hero is honored because they gave their life for something. This is why we honor veterans, and this is why we honor people that have given their lives for us in service, because they've done something that allows me to have freedom. And yet when we look at the scripture, we're like, yeah, I mean, okay, but that was like 2,000 years ago, so it doesn't really feel real to me. Jesus laid down his life for you and would do it tomorrow. And it's such a disconnected concept in our brains. Though we read it in scripture, we're like, yeah, Jesus got Bible. Jesus put on flesh for the purpose of dying so you didn't have to. Like if you hear nothing else today and someone asks you, why do you go to church? Why do you serve in a church? Why are you giving money to a church? That's really weird. You hang out with teenagers? That's really weird. You put on crazy things and dance around with kids and like, why do you do all that? Number one, look, Jesus died for me and he asked me to. Like, this, Jesus died for me, period. I need everybody to know that. Mark 8, chapter 8, 34 in Matthew, Mark, second gospel. Verse 34 says, this is Jesus. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and he said, hey, whoever wants to be my disciple, my apprentice, must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Okay, so if I know that Jesus, God in flesh, died for me, and that's a really, really good motivator. But then, secondly, I'm an apprentice to Jesus. I like the word apprentice because we learned it in the Practicing the Way series. It's the word disciple, but disciple gets abused, and we're kind of like, I don't understand that contextually, but we can get our minds around an apprentice. But if Jesus gave his life for me, and I'm an apprentice to Jesus, and then Jesus said, whoever wants to follow me has to deny themselves. Gross, don't like that. Right? I'm an apprentice to Jesus. My feelings are transient, my understanding subpar, my motivations are rarely righteous, but I want to be like Jesus so none of that matters. Does that make sense? Right? Like, yes, I have feelings, that's okay. It doesn't matter because I'm not trying to be me, I'm trying to be Jesus. Apprentices learn from their teacher to know and do what their teacher knows and does. And to be like someone else requires that I'm not like me. That's the denying self piece. That's uncomfortable. We don't like that. And this week, hang on. I had some God time this week, and I'm really glad I did because it hit me like, I don't know if it was yesterday, the day before, early morning, doing my devos. And I'm just reading through the Gospel of Matthew. And I saw this account, and I had to put it in my message last night. In Matthew chapter 27, it's up on the screen. I don't have just it's here. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. This is a garden, right? They just had the Last Supper. And he just tells them, like, you guys are all going to deny me. And they're like, no way. And then he goes to the garden where he says to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter, two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and troubled. He's got his closest friends with him. And then he says to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So he's really, really struggling. Takes his three closest friends because he's about to go talk with his father about all this. Right? Let's keep going. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground. Said, my father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jump down to 42. He went away a second time and prayed, my father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And then this last verse, because the disciples had fallen asleep for the third time, so he left them and he went away once more, prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Did Jesus want to be crucified? That's an easy answer. But we have in our heads this picture of Jesus as fully God, so we're like, there's no way he struggled. He probably didn't even feel it. He asked three times in close conversation with his father, I don't want to, but not my will, but yours. If we could do this another way, that's great. But I saw this for the first time, not for the first time, but when I was reading this week, I was like, he said it three times. And his closest friends kept falling asleep, to be fair, it was really late. But to be fair, he's about to be crucified, so I think his request is fair. But three times he said, if we can do this another way, let's do that. Okay? So again, if I'm an apprentice to Jesus who didn't want to do what he had to do, but he did it anyway, then there are going to obviously be things that I don't want to do, but I have to do anyway because the guy that I'm following did it. Okay, so again, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, why are you going to church? Why are you trying to memorize scripture? Why are you reading your Bible? That's a big, really old, hard to understand book. Why are you giving your time on a Sunday morning? Why are you have band practice and service on the morning? You have two services? You sit there and behind the drums and your light up sweatshirt? Hey, buddy. Why do you do that? It's because I'm an apprentice to Jesus. This guy didn't want to go to the cross, but he did. And I need to figure out how to love like that. In Philippians, keeps going in that passage, chapter 2, go back down to verse 9. So this is, that happened, and then it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, right? Obedient to death, even death on a cross. Gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, still don't know where that is, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the hardest why for us. Jesus died for you. That's a big deal. I want to be like Jesus. That's a big deal. Thirdly, Jesus is Lord. I know that's a very churchy statement, and I know we don't have fiefdoms and kingdoms and queens, and but this doesn't make natural sense to us. But if someone is Lord, they call the shots, right? PJ talked about peace a few weeks back, and one of the questions he left us with was, who do you say that I am? Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, hey, who do people say I am? And they said, okay, but who do you say I am? And who we say Jesus is determines a lot about how we live and a lot about our why. Thankfully, someone in first service helped me find out who quoted this. There's another thing I like, I've heard, and it's just stuck there. It's apparently James Hudson Taylor said, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Right? That's really, really hard. Because there are certain things you're cool with him controlling. 100%. That's you got. Take that. He's like, okay, I'm going to need your finances. Woo. You know, there's things where you're like, nah, like, I'm cool with, like, this is fine. We can do this. And he's like, yeah, okay. Can you go talk to them? And you're like, no. He's either Lord of all of it or he's not. Lord requires submission. I think this is one of the hardest parts for us because the submission isn't just I tell you, you do it. The submission to Jesus is because we trust him. Again, number one, he died for us. I don't know any other earthly being that has predicted their death and came back to life, but if I did, I'd probably listen to whatever they had to say, right? So when we look at the life of Christ, why is it different? Because we don't like denying ourselves. We don't like submitting to someone else's will. Again, go back to number one. He died for you. So for someone of you in your relationship with God, when people are asking you, like, why is church attendance? You would go serve somewhere? You would go to the mission field? You would go do the, why would you give up your time and energy? And like, there's only a limited amount of hours in the day. You can't miss that thing because of this church thing. Like, yeah, no, Jesus is Lord. Like, what does that mean? It means I don't call the shots. It means that I submit to the one that's telling me what to do, and it's not you. And that's so hard because, one, people don't like hearing that. Two, we don't like submitting to that. And there are a lot of good whys, and if you have some, you can let me know, like God's faithfulness in your life and the things that you've seen and experienced. But these are just the three that hit me as I was just thinking, man, like, why matters to me a lot? How do I stay properly motivated to draw closer and closer to my Father? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Got it. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason, the why, for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Christ is Lord. We're supposed to be ready with a reason for the hope. Again, another candle, kind of a big thing, that you have. Hope is not this empty, like, yay, everything's fine. Hope is, I don't care how rough things get, it's gonna get better. Right? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Dude understood it. I don't yet. But he's like, listen, if I die, I'm in heaven. If I live, like, I get to spread more of who he is. I have hope. I can be hopeful. This verse implies that we are to be a hopeful people. If you're going into 2026, you're like, you don't have to be bubbly, like some of us. But we are called to be hopeful because Christ is Lord. And I think what's hard for us is that we have that statement underlined right there. We have to trust that. Your Lord wants the best for you. Or he would not have sent his son for you. He would not have said, hey, come be my disciple. Like, follow me. You can do what I'm doing. He would not have said that if he wasn't trustworthy. So here are some things that PJ, a while back we had a meeting, and he said some things that I didn't know were coming. Man, those are good. But it made me think, what are our hopes for Trinity in 2026, right? We've looked at what we talked about in the past year, and I'm not speaking for PJ. He said these words. I'm just repeating them. Oh, a pop quiz. Sorry, I did this first service. If you're here for the first time, you're exempt. Congratulations, you get an A. If you're not here for the first time, what is our mission statement? Two simple statements. Yeah, vision team member who helped write it. Love God completely and love others selflessly, right? It's on one of our posters out there. Love God completely, love others selflessly, okay? Second question I have, a little bit of a deeper cut. What is, and you can't answer this time, what is our vision statement? There's three things that we have a vision for. It's probably on your bulletin somewhere, I'm not going to lie. Yes, thank you for finding it. All right. Encounter God in worship, grow together as disciples, and serve people locally, nationally, internationally. Okay? So when PJ at this meeting said these are some things that I want to focus on, he didn't have them in this order, but last night I was like, oh, this is our goal. Encounter God in worship. In 2026, PJ and I and the staff and leaders of the church, we want to be more intentional about prayer. That's where you encounter God, talking to him. We got a thing back on our wall that says, Lord, hear our prayer. You can put anything up there to pray anytime. And again, we don't know 100% what this looks like. But in any of these three things that I'm about to say, if you're like, oof, I got a burden for that. Again, hearing and doing are two different things. So, emails. But we want to be very intentional in prayer. Maybe it's going to end up being a midweek prayer thing. Maybe it's going to end up, I know one of the things we talked about as a worship team, before service, we meet downstairs in a room, and it's usually PJ or I that prays before we come up here. We'd love any of you to come down and be like, hey, can we just pray for you guys? Will you go lead us in worship? Right? There's many things that we want to be more intentional in prayer. The second one that was on our list was to grow together as disciples. And so we want to be, secondly, have our families more involved in small groups. Now, some of you are like, I'm not a people person. That's fine. But what you experience here on a Sunday morning is an hour. I said this in a past sermon. But if you practiced anything for an hour a week, would you get a lot better? Maybe a little. But I think this is where we struggle, is that sometimes, and some of you already have these groups and they're not in the church, and that's fine. You have groups that you meet with, that you pray with, that you're growing with. But if we've talked as a leadership team about how do we take what happens on a Sunday morning, which we love and is really good, and make it last longer, it's small groups. It's having dialogue where people can sharpen you, where people can ask you a question, because you're hearing this different than everybody sitting here, I hope, right? We're not all thinking and hearing the same. We prep small group questions so that you can take them and be like, man, I want to go deeper with this. Again, if you're talking about why, I can't motivate you. Right now, you're all, because I already thought of them, thinking of the reasons I can't get involved, right? It's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. Okay, thirdly, serving locally, nationally, internationally. We've been really good, fairly good locally. We've got connections with UCAN, with the Love Inc., with Options Care Center, with all these other ones, the food pantry. In 2026, we are either going to have boots on the ground or a plan that by 2027, teams are going to Hoops on Mission in Florida to serve with Dwayne Jackson and Hoops on Mission. Or Eddie, Pastor Eddie in Uganda with Day Spring School, right? There's a good chance that PJ is going to like just buy a ticket and end up in Uganda next week. I don't know. He's like, we got to go. So, and I'm okay with it, right? I text Dwayne this week. I'm like, hey, well, when can I come down? He's like, tomorrow? I said, all right. But these are things that we have as intentional resolutions, goals for 2026. Because we've been feeling, all right, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from us as a church family? And these are just three things that we're like, this is what God is calling us to. It's literally on our posters. Nothing has changed. It's just what we're focusing on in those areas. So my challenge to you isn't come up with a really good resolution. My challenge to you isn't, man, you better write something down on paper and make it, you know, Tim said in the first service, like, well, it's in print. Now we got to do it. And everybody's heard it. So, you know, Our intent is not to guilt anybody or make you feel like even the goals you already might have written down are bad, but our motivation matters. Why we do things matters, because I can stay motivated if I have I can stay on target, on task, if I have a proper motivation. And that's what we see in Scripture. That's what we see in the life of Christ. So if somebody asks you, why are you doing church stuff? Or if you're even asking yourself, why am I doing church stuff? Jesus died for you. If you're asking, like, well, what is the importance of reading Scripture? I don't know how to make you understand apprenticeship to somebody if you're not spending time with them. Right? I don't know. You can't deny yourself if you're not learning what the other is that you're supposed to be like. Honestly, just sit in the Gospels. Nobody's going to judge you for that. Leviticus is the worst. No. But also, Jesus is Lord. Like, if you get to that place in your life where you're like, I confess you as Lord of my life, that means, and I just had the Carrie Underwood song go through my head. Dang it. That means he's in control of the wheel, not you. I don't like my brain sometimes. That means that he is the one that gets to call the shots. He has the authority in your life. And if you don't submit to that, then he's not the Lord. Okay? That's just my encouragement and my challenge for us as a church family. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that none of this depends on us, right? You're not mad at us if we don't have the perfect why, if we don't have the perfect motivation. You're not up there looking down, you know,